Hello, everyone, and welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, the mighty 101.5 FM. I am Jim Samaria.
Yes, you are, Jim, and I am Mark Plotnick, your co-host. Each week, Jim and I bring you music, insights, and interviews spanning the most influential era for rock and roll acts, the 1950s through the 1980s.
Mark and I are authors of the book, Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which is available online at Amazon and at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum in Joliet. It's on their website gift page, or you can go through my webpage at jimsumariaphoto.com. The book features my photography of classic rock artists from 1973 to present day with words by my favorite rock historian, the one, the only, Mr. Mark Plotnick.
Well, thank you, Jim. And you, my friend, are my favorite rock and roll photographer. And
you're making me blush.
No, and in the eyes of many, one of the best. But let's put accolades aside. We have a very special show today based on your wonderful memories of your childhood.
Well, yeah, in August of 1966, when I was 12 years old and heading into eighth grade, my family took our first ever vacation. My parents chose to go to California, and it changed my life. I fell in love with everything. But what brings back the memories, of course, was the music that was played on our car radio during our trip. I have my own soundtrack of my vacation, and that's what we're going to play today.
Yeah, and of course, in those days, you had the same top 40 songs playing continuously on AM radio. There was no rock and roll music on an FM frequency like the mighty 101.5, so you heard the same songs played over and over again.
Yeah, that's right. We spent some time with relatives in San Jose, which was great, but it was Los Angeles that really got to me. During the show today, I'll relive some of those moments along with the songs that I remember so vividly.
And that's the power and the beauty of music, Jim. It's amazing how it can create a mood, a feeling, or recall strong mental images, some happy and some sad.
Well, these are all happy. I had a good time there. I know there's one song out there, Mark, that, you know, when you were talking about how music could really affect you, I said, I still can't listen to this song today because when I was a freshman in high school, my girlfriend broke up with me. So I'm not even going to name the song because it'll make me cry, and I don't want to do that.
Well, I had a similar experience. The song for me was Pink Floyd's Us and Them, but I'm not going to mention the girl just in case she's listening.
Yeah. Well.
So, anyways, that was a sad moment, and I do have a tear in my eye for you, but let's start with your happy moments when you vacationed in California in 66. And what is the title of the show today?
California Dream
that's
in 66.
Right. That's right.
That's what we're going to talk about. One song that I heard many, many times was Summer in the City by the Love and Spoonful. I remember one day we're driving to Disneyland, which is in Anaheim, and we must have heard the song 10 times just on that drive. And my remembrance was singing this loudly in the back seat of the car, much to the dismay of my dad, who he requested, being an Italian dad, he requested, let's say, keep it down a notch, Jim.
Was that your singing or the radio?
My singing.
Oh, okay. Well, funny. My dad's request was to lower the volume, whether it was in the car or in the house. But as for the Love and Spoonful, they were a folk rock pop band, I guess you'd call them, led by singer-songwriter John Sebastian. They came out of New York City's Greenwich Village in 1965.
Yeah, and they had so many great hits back in the day. You didn't have to be so nice. Did you ever have to make up your mind and daydream? And Paul McCartney admitted that the Beatles song Good Day Sunshine was influenced by the Spoonful song Daydream.
Well, Sebastian got the idea for Summer in the City from his brother Mark. And with contributions from Spoonful bassist Steve Boone, they created a number one hit.
And the song is about life. Did you want to say something?
No.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
The song is about life in the city where nighttime is more fun than the daytime. And to give the record a little more city atmosphere, the band used real street sounds like jackhammers and car horns.
Jim, I gather gunshots and blood-curdling screams were out of the question.
No. Once again, you go into evilness, but that's okay. So come reminiscing with me with Summer in the City with the back of my neck getting dirty and gritty.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe,
Don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world, go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night, just by the heat it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
Love that song. Love John Sebastian. Let's go on to our next song. This one, my cousin John brought his transistor radio with him to California, and he would play it while we were on the at the motel pool. And actually, that's the pool I learned how to swim. The song I'm going to play next is Land of a Thousand Dances by Wilson Pickett. The song would come on, and we would sing along with Pickett during the chorus. Na 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 na, you know, yeah, whatever. Whenever we jumped off the diving board, it became a little game for us. Of course, my diving off the board were really belly flops. I was not a good swimmer.
Wow. Well, I'm going to try and keep that image out of my mind. Let's get back to Wilson Pickett. He was born in Alabama, where his love for singing began while he was a member of the local church choir, as so many R&B singers started. At the age of 14, he moved to Detroit and joined the gospel group called the Violinaires. Did I say that right, Jim?
Yeah.
Okay, good. They were a successful gospel group, and they toured the USA. But believing he could be more successful singing secular music, Pickett joined a group called the Falcons in 1959, who were at the forefront of what would be called soul music.
Yeah, and by the early 60s, Pickett went solo, and in 1965, his song In the Midnight Hour was a big hit, and he was on his way to becoming a star. In August of 66, Land of a Thousand Dances was released and reached the top 10 in the charts. And I'm sure you know this because you know everything. Mm-hmm. The Muscle Shoals rhythm section and the Memphis Horns provided the background music.
That's right, and I knew the Memphis Horns.
I know, you knew Jackson, right?
I knew Wayne Jackson. I even played piano in his house.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, because I visited him, but I always went, why didn't they ask me to join? I guess that was a commentary on my playing.
maybe. Well, anyway, let's dive into Land of a Thousand Dances with Wilson Pickett.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Somebody to help me say it one time.
How was that? Was that it?
That was good.
Good, okay.
That was Wilson Plotnick doing that right there. The next song is Wild Thing by the Troggs. It made me change my hairstyle, Mark. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, I used to have the Mo Howard short straight bangs, you know.
You were ahead of your time.
I was ahead of my time, but I had the Mo Howard, you know, from Three Stooges.
Sure.
The short straight bangs, and I made a more sweeping bang to look like the Beach Boys.
I was more like Larry.
Oh, were you? Yeah, yeah. You are now. So, in other words, my hair was starting to get a little bit longer, and this song is what made me do that. It was also one of the first songs that connected me with rock rather than pop-level music. It was on the radio very frequently during our California trip.
Well, the Troggs were an English garage rock band and an early architect of punk. The acclaimed rock critic Lester Bangs, who I personally found to be an elitist, but I know people think he's great. He called the Troggs the forebearers of punk, and they were a major influence on acts such as Iggy Pop and the Ramones.
Yeah, and their song Wild Thing was a huge hit and made it all the way to number one. And according to Rolling Stone, it is one of the top 500 rock songs of all time. But Mark, give us some nice little trivia on the song.
Well, it was written by Chip Taylor.
What else do you know about Chip Taylor?
Well, his real name is James Voight. And you know who his brother is?
You tell me, sir.
Okay, John Voight.
You're kidding. So who would his niece be? I guess Angelina Jolie.
What, do you work for Ancestry.com? What
yes, I do.
How far back are we going to go in the tree?
Well, I think this is pretty cool, you know? And George Costanza bought John Voight's car. I don't know if you ever saw that episode, but it turned out to be another John Voight, a dentist. But I digress. Well, anyway, also a little bit more history on the song. This is the song that Jimi Hendrix played at the Monterey Pop Festival, and he made rock history when he lit his guitar on fire at the conclusion of the song. But in 1966, the Troggs were on fire with their version of Wild Thing. I think I love you.
Wild Thing.
was Wild Thing by the Troggs. And as I said, Jimi Hendrix did that song too. But another great band out of the Chicago area back in 67, the Town Criers, also performed it at the Aragon. And I know that Jim Eggers and his band just did a kick butt version of it. I can only imagine Jimmy flying around on the guitar.
I think I was there.
I think I was there too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I even have the set list.
Do you too?
Well, we hope you're enjoying that classic rock show on WHRULP, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM. Let's get back to our theme today, which is California Dreamin' 1966.
Yeah, that's another song that reminds me of driving around was I Saw Her Again by the Mamas and the Papas. I remember trying to harmonize with my sister and my cousin in the backseat of a car. We were going down to Knott's Berry Farm. We sounded more like cats screeching than the Mamas and the Papas, that's for sure.
Yeah, and unlike Jim and his family, the Mamas and the Papas were known for their lush harmonies, by the way, Jim.
Were you in the back seat? You didn't hear us singing.
I couldn't fit in the back seat.
Oh, that's true.
You asked me to come with, and I said, force too many. Yeah. So, well, under the guidance of record producer Lou Adler, who, by the way, is a fixture at the front row of Laker games, the band had a string of hits in the 1960s thanks to the leadership and songwriting of John Phillips and the accompaniment of the famed Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, if I want to go back in our archives and you can hear a great show we did on the Wrecking Crew. The Mamas and the Papas were part of the Laurel Canyon group of musicians, and Cass Elliott had many parties that would include guests such as Crosby, Stills and Nash, Joni Mitchell, a few of the Monkees, and member of the Eagles, among others.
Wow, now those are parties I would have loved to have been at.
It would have been fun.
Yeah.
You got some trivia for me?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
And here's a bit of trivia about the song you were about to hear. At the end of the song, the band kind of messes up on the lyric by singing, I saw her again, I saw her again. What they were supposed to have sung was, I saw her. But producer Lou Adler liked the sound of it, and he left it in.
Yeah, so I like it, too. So here is I Saw Her Again by the Mamas and the Papas.
Thank you.
That was the Mamas and the Papas. Love those vocals. Love those vocals, man. Well, the next song reminds me more about California than any other song. I have no reason to give, but that's just the way it is. This is the song I remember most. And the name of the song is called What Becomes of the Broken Hearted by Jimmy Ruffin. And it's another song out of the Motown's Hitsville's USA Studios.
It's all true, Jim. And the song was originally written by Jimmy Dean. And no, not the sausage guy. It was also written by Paul Reiser. No, not the comic actor. And William Witherspoon.
Not Reese's uncle or anything like
no.
that?
No. Okay. Well, yeah, that's good. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
They originally wrote it for the R&B group The Spinners, but Jimmy Ruffin thought he could give it the feeling it needed.
And you know, Jimmy Ruffin, his brother was David Ruffin, who was in The Temptations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Ruffin's soulful, sad version was backed by the famous Motown house band, the Funk Brothers. And it became a top 10 hit across all charts.
Yeah, we got to do a show on the Funk Brothers one
Absolutely.
Day. One of the silly remembrances I have about the song is, you have to remember I was only 12 at the time. Of course, I still have the same humor as when I was 12. But there's a line in the song that Ruffin says, I've been searching everywhere just to find someone to care. I would sing, I've been searching everywhere just to find some underwear.
Hardy, hardy, har, har. That
yeah.
was not funny.
Well, it was. I got big laughs from the 12-year-old
yeah,
crowd.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
yeah,
true. Yeah, it was a big hit, whatever grade that was, 7th grade or whatever. Anyway, here is What Becomes of the Brokenhearted by Jimmy Ruffin. Was Jimmy Ruffin singing it away. Anyway, you are listening to that classic rock show. Please stay tuned for part two on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM and on demand 24/7.